Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. You know, I think what's so crazy about Christianity and how wonderful Christianity is as Miss Ann's saying, it's the power in Christianity is in our understanding of how we are and how God is. And that's the power in Christianity. It's not how saintly I am and I come to church and I'm so good and I'm this, that, and the other. The power in Christianity is understanding how bad we are and how much sin we have done and how much we don't deserve what Jesus has given to us. And, man, just so appreciate the power that God gives us when we acknowledge that we are not perfect and that we struggle and we're human and that He is almighty. And just what a wonderful thing Christianity is. Proverbs 14 and verse 14 says this: "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Lord, we thank you for again coming to this place, Lord, where Lord's wonderful families, Lord, that desire to please you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you've come and you left your throne, as Brother John Mark said, and why? But you left your throne to rescue a sinner like us, Lord God, and like me. And Lord, I just so thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the power that is found in understanding who we are and who you are. And Lord God, you are Almighty God, Almighty King, and all that you do for us, Lord, as we think about the Clarks and the Knapps this week, Lord, and Lord, the loss, Lord God, the void that you, Lord, that you fill, Lord God, in our lives, Lord, because you are Almighty God. We thank you for that. And Lord, just for all that you've done for us this week, Lord God, and again, just such a great place to come worship, Lord, as has been prayed earlier. Lord God, we pray that if anyone here, Lord God, doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, today would be their day of salvation. And Lord, again, a spiritual hospital, not a place where we show off our righteousness at all, Lord God, but a place where we show off, Lord, and look to the cross behind where I'm standing, Lord. Look to that cross and see you're no longer on it, but you were on it, and you did die for us, and you shed your blood for us, Lord, so that we could have eternal life in heaven. And Lord, as we talked about last week, Lord, there are people up there that I know that I can't wait to see. And Lord God, I so thank you for the plan of salvation for heaven. And Lord, may we get much, much from the message this morning. Thank you for this place. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
I'm good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And as always, we appreciate the music this morning. And the choir did a great job, as always. And Miss Ann, what's the special? And Mrs. Hayes with the offertory, so thank you for that. And also for Brother David filling in. And Mr. Hayes' voice is not doing too great today, so I appreciate Brother David filling in and leading the singing for us, and did a great job with that as well. We're going to go to a couple different passages, but I wanted to start with this. You know, I was thinking about this this week. In fact, if I remember right, this week before Memorial Day, I think was about the time that we came back inside last year, around this time. And we've been outside for a while, and then we're able to come back in the building here and have been able to be back in since then. But, you know, I thought about this week. I was looking back at some of our Sunday school roll and some of our attendance hall. You know, there are, and not just here, by the way, just I can think of some, but all across the country, there are some people who have not been back to church since March 8th of last year. I mean, they have not darkened the doors of a church all across this country, and even some I think of here, that they didn't come back after March 8th, and they haven't come back since. And I've talked about this some with my family and my wife, and you know, my question I'll think to myself: well, when are they coming back? Right? You know, are they gonna wake up one Sunday and all of a sudden, hey, this Sunday, I think this will be the, like, what's different about each week? And for me, I was like, man, how do they make it without church? And I'm thankful for what we have. I'm thankful that we have opportunity where people can come outside and listen. That's great. They can be a part of that. And they've been faithful to that and doing that. That's a great thing. But there's some that they haven't been on the property.
since March the 8th, and it stopped then. It's like, and so, man, how do they make it, you know, not being around God's people, or at least not listening to the Word of God and not being taught? And you think about that, and, you know, when, again, in my mind, I think, well, when are they ever going? They may never come back. I don't know. May not. And if you read information that's out there, there's some, it does seem like, across the country that have gotten out of church and may never get back in the house of God again. And so you think about that, man, when are they coming back? Well, this morning, my message this morning is this: when are you coming back? When are you coming back? He said, well, I'm here. All right, so I don't need the message. Who needs the message is the ones that aren't here. But that's not what I'm not talking about physically, although I think it's important physically to be here. But I'm not talking about physically this morning. I'm talking about spiritually. When are you coming back? And as I just mentioned, it's hard for me, for those that, you know, I need the house of God. I need church. I need to be in Sunday school, and I need to be in church, and I need to be in Sunday night church and Wednesday night church. Those things, man, I need those things. I think about, I mean, you know, this. What do you have more important going on than being the house of God? I need that. And you know, that I need that void filled. We read the verse there in Proverbs 14:14, a backslider in heart. And by the way, that's where it always starts. It always starts in the heart. But a backslider in heart shall be filled with what? With his own ways. They find what they want to do, and that fills. It can't fill the void that's there in Christ, but that's what they fill it with, is what they want to do. But I want to talk this morning, and I heard a message in the last couple weeks. I was listening to one that Dad preached, and I'm going to put it on the website, and I want to give credit where credit is due. So the last point I get to really comes straight from his message, and it's very, very that'll be the best part of the message, right? You look forward to that. But I thought about it. I mean, those that get away from God, when are you coming back? This morning, are you as close to God as you've ever been? Has there been a time in your life where you were closer in your relationship with God, in your daily walk with God, in your service for God, in your desire to please God? Has there been a time in your life where you were closer to Him? If there has been, then that means this, that you've gone away in some way from God. Now, that may not be a huge step. It may not be something that people even notice. As I mentioned in Proverbs 14, it says a backslider in heart. It starts in the heart. But are you as close to God as you've ever been? And if you're not, let me ask you this morning, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? I want you to go to Genesis chapter 13. We'll go to several different places this morning. When are you coming back? Let me just mention this as we get to Genesis chapter 13. The first point is this: most backsliders don't ever come back. You know that? Most of those that backslide, they get away from God, they backslide in heart first, and then it becomes an action. Be honest with you, if you look at the Word of God and you look at people and you know the examples, most backsliders never come back. I think about those who used to be here Sunday morning service. I'm not talking about even, I'm talking about not just they're not here because of the pandemic or whatever, they're, you know, all that. I'm talking about they used to be here and then they just quit coming. And you try to think of those in your life. And there's a couple examples I can think of, but outside of maybe two or three examples, I can't really think of anybody who used to come Sunday morning, Sunday, Wednesday night, and then they sort of fell back to just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then just sort of fell back to Sunday morning. And then picked back up and started coming back on Sunday night. And then picked back up and started coming on Wednesday night. And then became involved again in the maybe ministry. That rarely happens. Or they, you know, just come Sunday morning. Then they get out of church. And they're out of church for years. And then they start coming back. To be honest with you, most that start to go away from God, most that backslide, don't ever come back. Look at Genesis chapter 13, verse number 11. Most of you know the stories. We won't take a lot of time with the story of Lot, but verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Lot made a choice here. The Bible says he chose for himself. He made a choice for himself. And that's really what happens, as we talked about the verse in Proverbs, they're filled with his own ways. They make a choice for themselves. Those that backslide, they get away from God, they make a choice for themselves. Hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I think is best. And they base it on what their feelings, what they want to do. And so, of course, when he did that, what happens in verse number 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. He pitched his tent toward Sodom, and of course the Bible tells us the next verse, they were wicked sinners exceedingly. Most of the time, not all the time, there's a lot of different things that cause people to go away from God. But one of the things that I've seen in people's lives that caused them to backslide is a love for the things of the world. What does the Bible tell us in 2 Timothy 4 is Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, what? Having loved this present world. He had a love for the things of the world. And same thing here with Lot. He loved the things of Sodom. He pitched his tent in that direction, and he loved those things. And we're not, the Bible tells us in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things of the world. And so we're not supposed to love those things of the world, but that really it brings people away from God. And of course, when he did that, when Lot made that choice here in Genesis chapter 13, he had to separate from Abraham. And you'll see that. People will backslide and they'll separate from those that are trying to do right. They'll separate from those at church. They'll separate from those who are trying to serve God. They'll make that choice. They'll separate. And that's what he did. So he made that choice to separate. It's a choice that Lot made. And then I think this happens a lot. I've seen this in people, and maybe you know somebody like this, in their life. When they make some choices that are not good choices to them, that they begin to backslide, I think this happens very often, and it really shows if they're saved or not many times. So go to chapter 14, chapter 14. So Genesis chapter 14, and here's what happens. Lot begins to backslide. He pitches his tent towards Sodom. You know the progression there. Eventually he's in Sodom, and then he's there at the gates of Sodom, which shows the leadership position. So he just begins to make that progression that goes further and further and further. But in chapter 14, before it's gone, but so far, this is early on in Lot's choices. Early on in Lot's backsliding against God. Look what happens in chapter 14. We won't go through all the passages, but you know, these kings attack Sodom and Gomorrah, and they capture some of these people that are living there in Sodom. And so if you go to Genesis chapter 14 and look at verse number 12, this says, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. By this time he's living in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So they capture Lot, and they take him, and they take all his possessions. And so he's there in Sodom, and he's been captured by these kings that are trying to destroy them. Well, Abraham, of course, hears about this, and he goes after and really takes his own servants, his own army, and is able to deliver them. Verse number 16. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. I think when Christians that are truly Christians, when they backslide and go away from God, I think God sends wake-up calls to them. I think this is Lot's wake-up call. Hey, Lot, you're in the wrong place. hey, they captured him. They captured his goods. And then Abraham was able to deliver him. You know, you think about later on a couple chapters when Abraham goes to God and says, God, if there's only, and he gets them down to 10 righteous. You think one of the things that's probably going through Abraham's mind is, you know, I just helped Lot out. That had to change Lot, right? I mean, that in his life had to change him, and yet Lot continued on his backslide. More and more people they'll go away from God, and they get a cancer diagnosis. You think, well, that's going to do it, right? That'll get them right back right with God, or maybe they lose a loved one, or they have some trial, they lose their job, or some affliction that comes to life. And you say, boy, that's going to turn it around, and it doesn't. You're like, and everybody else around them can see, hey, God's trying to get your attention. You don't change. Hey, I think God's trying to get Lot's attention here. And he's given Lot an opportunity. And he says, Lot, hey, listen, it's time for you to look at where you are and make some changes. And Lot continues in his backslidden state, continues there in Sodom. Most backsliders don't ever come back. And then understand this, when you backslide away from God, your children are going to take it further than you do. Those that follow you, I've seen this time and time again, when mom and dad backslide, the children go a lot further than they do. And we know the story, of course. Go to Genesis chapter 19. Lot is delivered, and of course, he's here, and the only ones left from the city really are Lot and his two daughters, and in the final stages of Lot's backslide. And we won't read the whole story, but just go to verse number 36. Here's where it ends up. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. That's where it ended. And that's where Lot's backsliding took him, to the point where his two daughters were with child by Lot. And you think, boy, nothing could be worse than that. Hold on a second. And that's pretty bad, right? You get to that point in your backslidden state, and when it affects your family, hey, your children are going to take it. And these children took it further than Lot did. You say, well, it couldn't be worse than that. It could be worse than that. Go back to chapter 19. I mean, go back earlier in chapter 19. I want you to go to verse number, let's go to verse number 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. He said, Lot, get whatever is yours and get out of here. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them was waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You know what's even worse than what his daughters did there? He's got other daughters that wouldn't even go with him. I don't know about the daughters that came out with him. They were delivered out of there. Whether that means they were saved or not, I don't know. But I do know this. These daughters here weren't. And I don't know how many there were. It says plural. We know they weren't the two that went with him, because earlier on in the chapter, they were virgins. They weren't married. The Bible tells us that there earlier in the chapter. So these are ones that are already married, these daughters. And these daughters wouldn't even go with Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because his backsliding affected his children, to the point where his children weren't even saved. And so understand what it does. They wouldn't even believe what he had to say. And Lot's backsliding not only affected him, but affected his whole family. And then I want you to go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Hey, when are you coming back? Lot had opportunity to come back. He chose never to come back. By the way, you know this. If the Bible didn't tell us that Judas was lost and on his way to hell, we wouldn't believe it, right? I mean, obviously it gives us the story of his betrayal of Jesus. If we didn't know that story, and if we just know that Judas was one of the disciples, one of the apostles of Christ, we just think, of course, he went to heaven. He was an apostle, right? I mean, he was an apostle. He was around Jesus for 3.5 years. He would have had to go to heaven. If the Bible didn't tell us Judas, and even if it gave us some details about, okay, Judas did some things wrong, we might say, okay, well, sort of like Peter, they both did things wrong. But if the Bible didn't tell us that Judas went to hell, we wouldn't believe it. If the Bible didn't tell us Lot went to heaven, we wouldn't believe it either, right? We'd think, man, Lot must have went to hell because of all they did. But no, Lot, the Bible tells in the New Testament, he went to heaven. But he went away from God, and most backsliders don't ever come back. Then look at Acts chapter 13. Another example we have here, this is such an exciting time in the early church, and Paul and Barnabas are sent in the very first part of Acts chapter 13. They're sent on the first missionary journey. This is it. This is the beginning of the missions movement, okay? This is the beginning of all that happens with missions from that day forward to the missionaries we have today. It starts with Paul and Barnabas. They are ordained and set apart and sent out. And, I mean, we're talking about the very first missionary journey ever. It's Paul and Barnabas, and they take somebody with them, right? In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 5, when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And so John, the Bible tells us, John, whose surname was John Mark, he left with Paul and Barnabas. And can you imagine that? He got to be on the very first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. I mean, you talk about, you know, those things that, if I could have been in this place or that place in Bible times, man, to be with Paul and Barnabas as they first time ever, they go out on their first missionary journey. And so they do that. And then, of course, what happens in, look at verse number 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, and we had the very first convert. This person named Sergius Paulus, he believes, he trusts Christ as a Savior. So on the mission field, the very first convert, and John Mark gets to be there for that. Look at verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. John went back. He backslid. He went away from the work that he had been a part of. And we don't know why that was. We don't know if it was too much excitement for him, whether it was too much, it was too hard. I don't know. We know this. Up until this verse we read there in verse number 13, up until that verse, it's always Barnabas and Saul. Now, Barnabas was his uncle. Now we start to read there in verse 13, Paul and his company. All of a sudden, Barnabas and Paul, their roles have sort of switched, and Paul's sort of the lead, and he will be the lead throughout the rest of the New Testament, and Barnabas not as much. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not. We don't know. But we know he quit and he went back. Hey, the first thing is this. Most people that backslide never come back. Secondly, it takes a long time to get back. It takes a long time. One of the hardest things to ever do, Dad would say this for years, is to recover lost spiritual ground. It takes time. Let me tell you that. And let me tell you that for both sides, okay? So if you're backslidden, it's going to take some time to get back. But you got to come back, all right? You got to make a decision to come back. And for those who say, well, I know somebody that's backslid, hey, it takes time. Give them some time to get back, all right? It takes time to get back. It took time for John Mark to get back. And in fact, go to chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Acts. Acts chapter 15, look at verse number 39. Acts chapter 15, verse 39. Well, back up to verse 37. Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. They wanted to go back, sort of a second missionary journey. And Barnabas said, I'm determined. We're going to take him with us. Verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, and Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. You know what happened? His backsliding caused contention between Paul and Barnabas. We're talking about two of the greatest men in the New Testament of the early church, Paul and Barnabas, two godly men, and yet his backsliding caused some contention there. And a lot of times we'll look at that and say, man, we'll look at the end result and say, well, you know, eventually, and we'll talk about it in a second, John Mark came back. So Paul may have been wrong here. I don't know, though. Paul's saying, look, I can't trust him. Hey, understand that when you backslide away from God, it's hard to win back that trust. And we shouldn't expect, hey, somebody, you backslide, get away from God. Well, I'm just going to come back and everything's going to be fine. Hey, it takes time. It takes time. And for those who are trying to be a help, and we look at Barnabas, and you think, well, Paul, look at all that Barnabas did for you. But Paul said, look, there's a work to do for God. It's serious. I can't have somebody that's going to come out there and I can't rely on them. And if you look at it here, what does it say in verse number 40? Paul's group, Paul and Silas, were the ones commended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And, of course, we know that's who God uses here throughout the rest of the book of Acts. We really don't hear much about Barnabas and Mark. Then go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and most of you know this verse. Remember, that was Paul's first missionary journey. Paul took at least three, probably four different missionary journeys over a period of many, many years. Now we're 2 Timothy 4, the very end of Paul's life. Paul's life's about over. Look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He says, hey, bring Mark. Bring John Mark with you. He is profitable. By the way, you know what that says? It says that both Paul and John Mark were patient, right? Hey, Paul was patient with him. Man, what it says about Paul that he was willing to say, hey, bring him. He's profitable to me for the ministry. Tell you this morning, you backslide, it takes time to get back. It takes time to come back. It takes time. Now, you got to make that decision, but understand that. You say, well, I'm away from God. Hey, today's the day to say it's time to get back. But that's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. Hey, and those that are trying to help those that have backslidden. Hey, it's going to take some time. Be patient with them. Then go to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Most people that backslide never come back. That doesn't mean we don't try. It doesn't mean we don't pray for them and try to help them. And most of them don't. Those that do get away from God and backslide, what a testimony to come back. But understand, it's going to take some time. And then Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 18, Jacob has this dream as he is out on his own for the first time. Verse 18 in Genesis 28, Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, poured oil upon the top of it, and called the name of that place Bethel. Verse 22, and the stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob made some decisions there for God. He built altars. This is Bethel. This is God's house. Hey, this is a place where I met God. Go forward seven chapters in what seems like a lifetime to Genesis chapter 35. By this point, Jacob in chapter 28 is on the run. He's on the run because Esau wants to kill him. He gets, and of course, marries, ends up with two wives, and then their handmaids and children, all this kind of stuff. 20 years really pass, and he's able to meet up with Saul, and I mean with Esau, and get those things right. And so, man, it's like a lifetime that's passed. And Genesis chapter 35, verse number 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appears unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. He says, I want you to go back to Bethel. Of course, he does that in verse number 7. He built there an altar and called the name, called the place El Bethel, the God of the house of God, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They straightway left their nets and followed him. Jesus finds Peter and Andrew, and they're casting their nets in the water. They're fishermen, of course. And Jesus tells them, follow me. Well, there's a lot that goes on from Matthew 4 until we get to the end of the Gospels, right? 3.5 years of ministry for Jesus. Peter, so many times where he said the right thing, but then other times where he said the wrong thing. And then always, there's so much that we've had from Peter over these next 3.5 years. Go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Now Peter's denied Christ. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's appeared unto the disciples. Look at John chapter 21, verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Guess what Peter's doing? He's casting his nets in the sea again. Of course, you know, Jesus tells him where to cast, and they catch a lot of fish. And then go to the end of the chapter, look at verse number 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Verse 22, the end of the verse, follow thou me. Jacob was at Bethel, where God appeared unto him. And then for 20 years, man, just sort of in limbo and not really where he should have been, especially with his family, with God. And so God says, get back there to Bethel. Peter, called by God out of being a fisher of fish and be a fisher of men and get rid of those nets. And he says, follow me. And then after Peter backslid and denied Christ, what did Jesus say? Same thing. He found him in the same place and he said, follow me. Here's what I want you to get as the last point for this morning. When you backslide away from God, you can't go back to where you were. You must go back to where you started. So many people, when they backslide, you know, boy, I used to teach Sunday school. I want to go start teaching Sunday school. No, no, no. You need to go back to where you started. You ever played I used to hate that when you were younger, some kind of relay race, and we did some of that this week at school. We had a relay race, and, you know, we have to carry maybe an egg on a spoon or something like that. And if it drops, they make you go back to the beginning. You know, no, I just want to pick it up and keep going. When it comes to doing something for God, when you backslide away from God, you don't go back to where you were. No, no, no. No, you need to go back to where you started. You know where you started? At the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where you need to start. That doesn't mean you need to get saved again, but you need to go back to that time when you trusted Christ as Savior and how excited you were about your salvation. Hey, what did David say in Psalms 51? He'd been away from God. He said, restore unto me the joy of when I defeated Goliath. Man, that was a great time when I defeated Goliath. No, he didn't say that. Hey, restore unto me the joy of when I was anointed king of Israel. Man, I got that position of king. He didn't say that. Hey, restore unto me the joy of that friendship I had with Jonathan. And boy, what a great friendship that was. And he's gone now, and that's why I backslid. No, he said, restore unto me the joy of what? Thy salvation. Went all the way back to salvation. You know what some of your problem is this morning? The reason you're backslidden is because you don't have that joy of your salvation anymore. Hey, when you got saved, you wanted to come to church, right? Hey, you wanted to be in the house of God. You wanted to get in the Word of God. You wanted to be a witness to others. Boy, you wanted to be involved. I want to do something, man. I'm excited about it. But now, you've gotten away from God. And let me tell you, it's not going to be going, well, I'm going to go back. Boy, I remember when I used to minister in this area. No, you don't need to worry about ministering in any area. You need to make sure your heart's right with God and get excited about being saved again. That's what needs to happen. And we backslide away from God. We can't just go back to where we were. No, we need to go back to where we started. The reason you're not in church tonight is because you're not excited about your salvation. That's why. It used to be here, but no, well, I'm going to try to. No, you need to go back to salvation again. Now, this morning, we're talking about those that are backslidden. Now, sometimes the reason people aren't that excited about it is because they never were saved in the first place. Lester Roloff, who say, what, all those people they're talking about heaven, all of them are going there, right? Hey, you might need to get saved. If you've never been saved, you've never had that joy of your salvation, you've never been excited about what Jesus Christ did for you, it may need to start there. Why would you not want to come back? Now, think about that with people. Why would they not want to come back to church? To be in God's Word, to be around God's people. Hey, remember when you first got saved and you kept adding to? You weren't taken away from. No, you're adding to. You said, I think, man, they got saved and they started. Many of you this morning, when you got saved 40 years ago, all you were coming was Sunday morning. That was it. You got saved, you got in the house of God, you come Sunday morning. Man, you know, I start coming Sunday night. Pretty good. And then maybe you had children, you want to get them involved, don't get them involved in what they're, and they start coming on Wednesday night, and you wanted to add too, and you wanted, man, I'm going to get in the Bible. Oh man, they got soul winning visitation. I need to go out on that. And he started, I'm looking for things I want to do for the Lord to try to, and those things, listen, the things I just mentioned, they don't gauge your spirituality. But if there's a desire in our hearts, we'll want to do more for him. And then what happens? Well, we get away from God. And as we read at the beginning, what happens? Proverbs chapter 14. We begin to be filled with our own ways. And what we have scheduled, really, to be honest with you, is more important. Hey, what I have scheduled tomorrow is more important than me setting aside a time to read my Bible like I used to. Hey, what I've got going on this week, to be honest with you, it's more important than me handing out a tract like I did at one time. Hey, what I've got to do, hey, you don't know my schedule. What I've got to do, really, to be honest with you, I don't know that I can fit in the things I used to do for the Lord. My question this morning to you is this, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? What's keeping you from coming back? When are you coming back? Understand something, most people that go away from God don't ever come back. When you do come back, it's going to take time. And when you come back, you don't come back to where you were. You go back to where you started. hey, let's get back to salvation, how that was. Let's come back to that. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning to look at our own hearts and our own lives. And Lord, I pray, first of all, if there's someone that's not saved this morning, not as much to those who are unsaved as those who are saved, there could be somebody this morning that's never trusted you. Lord, that today be their starting point. It wouldn't be anything to come back to because they've never been saved. So they're not coming back to anything. They're starting. I pray that you work in their hearts this morning and help them see their need for you. They need a Savior. And Lord, I pray they trust you. Lord, I pray for those that this morning gotten away from you, maybe in a certain area, maybe in many areas. Lord, help them decide to come back. Lord, look around and say, man, I wonder when they're coming back and when they're coming back. But spiritually speaking, Lord, when are we coming back? We don't be like Lot, Lord, where it just goes further and further and further. Lord, you've given us a chance this morning to come back. Lord, as we do that, it helps us realize that how much time. It's going to take some time. It's not overnight. And it's not going to be pick up where we left off, Lord. It's go back to where we started. And get that joy of salvation back again. In Jesus' name we pray. If everybody's hand stand with their head bowed and eyes closed this morning, nobody looking around. Let me ask you this. As I mentioned, everybody standing, this is more to those that are already saved, but there could be somebody here that's never been saved. Boy, man, the joy of salvation that you get to experience this morning if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're here this morning and you say this. You say, I know I'm saved. You say, I know I'm on my way to heaven because of Jesus Christ. What he's done for me. I've accepted him as my Savior. I'm saved on the way to heaven. If you could say that, we just put your hand up like I'm going to say, I don't say this morning. Put your hand right back down. Here this morning, you say this. You say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I don't know if something was to happen to me, physically speaking, and I was to die. I don't know what would happen, where I'd wake up, what my eternity would be. We've mentioned some that passed away, even in the past week. If that happened to me, I don't know what would happen. If you like this morning, say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I'd like to pray for you. I'm not embarrassed you at all, but I want to pray for you. And you just, if you just do this for me, just slip your hand up. I'm not going to call on you or anything. We'll never do that. But I want you to say, just pray for me. I'm not sure about my salvation. Anybody like that? Well, by testimony of raised hands and hands that weren't raised, that means that just about everybody here this morning is saved. So let me ask you this. Are you as close to God as you've ever been? And if not, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? Is the joy of salvation still there? As the music plays this morning, the Lord speaks to you, you come forward.
morning. Thank you again for being here this morning. Let God work in your heart and answer what He calls you to do, what He wants you to do. Man, be back, of course, tonight if you can. And then, next week, I know it's Memorial Day weekend, but try to be in church. Outside of the, of course, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, where we celebrate things that are biblical. Memorial Day, I think, is one of the most important holidays we do, and honoring those that have given their lives for us. And so it's important to stress the importance of that holiday to your children, to your families, but also be great to be in the house of God next Sunday morning as well. So try to be back for that, and have a great week this week. Father, I pray that you bless us. Give us, Lord, just all that we do this week, I pray that would please you. Give us wisdom in our choices and our decisions. Lord, help us to see how important it is in our daily life, how it affects others. And then, Lord, we do pray for those that have lost loved ones, and be a comfort to them this week. And help us to accomplish what you'd have us do day by day, to seek your face, to seek your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.